Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, I give thanks for the gift of this day that we have to be together. As we hear the story of your calling of the disciples, may we hear your still small voice call us this day to follow you. Open our hearts and our minds to what that might mean. Meet us in this place and this time, that we might be transformed in order to share your love in powerful ways. In Jesus' name. All right, so today we start out with our VBS series, right? Rolling River Rampage, and I halfway thought about putting the blow-up inflatable boat behind me, but it's bright yellow, and I was a little bit afraid that you'd get distracted by it. So we'll maybe put it out for next week after when we don't have communion. But nonetheless, I can remember a number of times of being in a boat and learning a little bit about fishing. Jeff, I'm really grateful you didn't bring hooks, because the one memory I have is of one going through my ring finger. But nonetheless, fishing is an exciting kind of thing if you're patient, if you're paying attention. But I found fishing throughout much of my childhood to not be such a fun thing. I was among those that was not patient enough to wait. And so my greatest thing in the tackle box was the fishing pole holder. So I could then go skipping rocks and doing other things. And so I would put the fishing pole holder and stuff my rod in it and put the little bell on the pole, and then wander off to do something else. And I'll never forget the time that I went over to check it, and I went to reel it in, and I was an expert at catching twigs. I mean, I could catch them like nobody else. And I thought for sure I had caught a twig. And so, in much excitement and exuberance, when I couldn't reel, I went, and this little sunfish came flying out of the water and went over my head and landed about 20 feet behind me. To which I then freaked out and started calling for my dad to come, because I didn't know what to do with him. And he was not thrilled that I didn't know what to do with him. But nonetheless, a lot of those kind of stories, if we were to think about fishing, would elicit different memories. And so in some way, one of the challenges of our text today is that Jesus is going and talking to a group of people that their everyday living is fishing. Did you get that part of the story? He went where they were. And immediately his invitation to drop their nets and follow him was to be fishers in a different way. And here's the challenge I find, is that how many of you grew up being fishermen or fisherwomen? Okay, a few of you fished, but I mean made a living at it. Oh, well, that's a difference. How many of you would be starving if you were making a living at it? Right, okay, then that's what I kind of thought. So part of our challenge for our disconnect today is that the image Jesus uses to call them is very unique to them. And one of the challenges that I often find is that when we come to stories like these, in, you know, four verses, we suddenly think Jesus met them, he asked them to leave, they dropped everything and followed him. We go, that sounds great. Glad he's not talking to me. You see, that's the challenge, is that oftentimes when we come to any story around calling, it's hard for us to place that within our own context, within our own story, that the God we worship is a God who calls us. Right? This is the God who called these brothers to leave their nets, to leave what they had known, and to follow him. And so maybe we need to kind of pull away and get a little bit different context. So one, let's figure out, what is it that he's calling for them to join? What is he inviting them to do? Well, he's inviting them to join this mission that will unfold as you read throughout the Gospel of Matthew. And that mission is going to be inviting people to be in mind, to be open to the kingdom of God that's coming into their midst, to live differently in light of that. You see, one of the things Jeff shared with our kids that's really helpful is he said that oftentimes we need to know that people are wanting change. They're wanting the world to be different than it is. I think if I were to ask you today, how many of you want the world to be different than it is, how many of you would say yes? Yeah. Amen. I don't want the world to remain as it is. It's not good. It's not what God intended for it to be. Right? This last week, we found out that Tennessee ranks number 50 in childhood obesity. That's not the state that we want to be. You know, nothing like being the leader at the bottom of the pack. We've got a problem. That's not good. That's not the world as we want it to be. So if we want the world to be different, Jesus was saying, I want to tell you about the kingdom of God. And he began throughout the Gospel of Matthew opening to them a different way of understanding the world as it needed to be. And it was so powerful that not only did those disciples come along, many others would follow. Why do I know this? Because you and I wouldn't be sitting here if it hadn't been. Jesus invited them to live differently, to live in light of who God had created them to be and how God had created the world to be, and to work towards that change. Now, here's the wonderful question I want to ask you, and I would be interested to see how many of you can name it. What is the mission of the United Methodist Church? Clergy, you're not allowed to answer. What is the mission of the United Methodist Church? It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ. For what purpose? I hear it. For the transformation of the world. That's the mission of the United Methodist Church. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And so one of the challenges your long-range team has been working on, and I'm pointing at Bill because he always smiles when I say something. He goes, oh, we talked about this. But in our long-range team, one of the challenges we've had is that as we name that, then we have to say, how do we as a congregation live into that? How do we go about making disciples of Jesus Christ? And we've been spending some time talking about that as a team and listening to your stories of what helped you become connected at Bellevue United Methodist Church or what resonated in your own journey of faith. We did a lot of interviews in 2017, and there were a number of things that we heard in those. I have an entire notebook to share your responses. That we got about 101 interview responses. Okay, and out of those, there were three that rose to the top. You experienced welcome and hospitality when you entered into the church. There was a sense of welcome that came. There was an exchange that felt unique enough to where you kept coming back. There was a relationship that was formed, oftentimes with someone else. Now, in the earlier days of many coming to the church, in the 80s particularly, in the 90s, and some of the stories we heard, there was a whole team of people that on Sunday morning after worship would go and visit people at their homes who visited. Now, culture has shifted some to where people gathering at person's homes is not the same as it used to be. But nonetheless, they would go, say thank you for coming, would give them a small gift or something, and then we hope to see you again. And then that person who visited them would work hard that if they returned to say their name the next week, to remember meeting them, to say welcome back, right? That was a key story we heard. So there was a relationship that was formed. And oftentimes that relationship was formed even deeper. And the third thing we heard, which is that you got involved. You got engaged in ministry. Whether it was building a ramp or going on a mission trip or serving a meal at Room in the Inn, there was some way or form that you got involved in serving for the sake of somebody else. And during that involvement, you built a relationship that grew even deeper. That's what we kept hearing resound. So welcome and hospitality, or particularly welcome, there was a relationship that was formed, and there was an engagement in ministry. So your long-range team's trying to spend some energy and time around what that means. But here's the thing that we're finding. It costs us something to live into that. And maybe we forget that. You see, when Jesus invited them to follow him, they had to let go of something to do that. They had to let go of something to do that. And so here's what I want you to do. This is going to be a participatory sermon. What do you think that means? Okay, I was afraid you might find that challenging. That means I want you to participate. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn around and find a neighbor near you, and I want you to say your name to them and listen as they say their name to you. So take turns. You've got 20 seconds. Go ahead. Okay. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. And I've lost him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Okay, that's our call sign to come back together. Can we do that? So we're going to practice it. I should have practiced beforehand. Lesson learned. I say the Lord be with you, and our Methodist response is,
and also with you.
Perfect. So let's use that. So for the next couple minutes, this is participatory. Are you ready? I see a few that are willing, a few that are not. I recognize for the introvert in the room, this is a stretching experience. Okay? So thank you for going with me. I promise it's going to be helpful. Why do I know this? Because this is what we're going to ask our kids to do. So here's the thing. This literally comes from our VBS workbook. And so we're going to practice some of the questions that our kids are going to be reflecting on in our time together. Can you do that? So this may help us learn something where we go, that question really didn't work, Pastor. We might change that for VBS. Okay, so here's the first question I want you, and I'm not going to give you a lot of time, so I need you to work closely at sharing kind of first response and then allowing another person next to you to share, okay? So when we talk about following Jesus, and particularly we talk about the brothers who Jesus invites, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, it says that Jesus invited them to become fishers of people and to follow him, and their response was to immediately drop their nets and follow. Right? It's kind of challenging if you really think about it. To be quite honest, we have been, as adults especially, trained that making knee-jerk decisions is not always for our better, right? That's reacting versus responding where it's very thoughtful. So part of the challenge is, though, we can come up with all kinds of thoughtful reasons and responses for why that kind of following Jesus just isn't what Jesus is calling us to. And so then we begin to make all the reasons why Jesus really isn't calling at all. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing because that's not really working, but I don't know what else to do, right? Is this resonating a little bit? Right, we can make all kinds of excuses for why following Jesus is not the response. So let's stay with it for a minute. And let's say that we're going to join Peter and James and John and Andrew. And we're going to consider following Jesus, literally dropping the stuff around us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you with your neighbor to say, what would be easy to leave behind? What would be easy to leave behind? So you can imagine like you were a kid or even like an adult. I'm going to give you, and I've got a timer set. This is to help me stay on track, okay? I'm going to give you 3 minutes. That means that if you're in a partner of three, how many do each of you have? 1 minute. Great, your math skills are phenomenal today. 3 minutes, go. What would be easy to let go of? Share with a partner next to you. You're halfway through, so make sure if somebody in your group hasn't shared that they share now. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You didn't need 3 minutes, so I'm not going to give it to you. Okay, so if you had to come up with that list, let's real quick, I just need a couple responses. From over here, two. Social media would be easy to give up, okay? One more. Oh, I heard, what? Cell phones. This group is going to be disconnected from the world. They're leaving it all behind. All right, perfect. Pizza. I see one of our little ones. That could be hard, okay? All right, what else? Oh, the stuff we accumulate. Lord, that'll preach. All right, over here, two. Schoolwork. Hey, you were shared. Alex was here with you. He said homework, first thing to go. Okay, one other from the back. Starbucks. Easy to leave behind some coffee. On day one, we'll see what day five looks like. Okay, and what about over here? Garbage. Okay? We're going to get to the basics, things I don't like dealing with. One more. Yard work. Right? It's easier to name the things that we'd let go of, right? Because they fill our time, sometimes not so helpful, or they require money. I mean, you know, reality is the amount of money we pay to store the things we don't even need versus actually deal with them sometimes takes on more than we'd realize. Now, here's the challenge. If we just had the easy stuff to get rid of, following Jesus would be something we might sign on to much more quickly. But here's the challenge I'm finding in my own life, and maybe you're finding in yours. There's a list of harder things as well. If we had to follow Jesus immediately and he said, I want you to go, and I'm sending you now. Leaving our family and our friends would be much more difficult. Leaving the comfort of a home that we've kind of created as a place that we like to go to would be difficult. Leaving the security that we have, that the paycheck will be in the bank, that will cover the expenses of all the things that sometimes we don't need but we have. Right? That I'll have to speak to people I don't normally connect to, that look different than me, that speak differently than me, that have completely different backgrounds and experiences than me. Right? If I were to invite you to add to that list now, I imagine it'd be a lot longer. Right? Because following Jesus is not just simply about giving up the easy things, but allowing God to work in the areas that are much harder to give up as well. The things that we build for a sense of control and a sense of kind of comfort, it gives us this kind of shelter. But here's the thing I'm finding. If we're to honor what Jeff was talking about with our kids this morning, the church has become the messengers of that very good news that Paul spoke about in Corinthians, that Annalie just read a little bit ago. That we are the messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that gospel is that God has come into the world to transform it. Yes, primarily by love, but that love calls us to move into places where love hadn't been so present, right? Because we're a people that resist evil, injustice, oppression, whatever forms they present themselves. That means that we find ourselves among the hungry and the homeless, that we work with the lonely and the oppressed, that we stand with those who have been voiceless. This call of Jesus to show the love of God in all places to all people at all times, with as much as we have in us, wow, well, that's a different kind of call. Amen? And that call, brothers and sisters, is one we shouldn't take lightly. It is the call to be the church. Making disciples does involve for us, as we learn at Bellevue United Methodist Church, unique aspects of how we will do that. It doesn't always look the same in every congregation, and so you'll be hearing in the coming weeks how we're going to begin living into what we see that uniquely looking like here. Because making disciples is not a one-size-fits-all. Each of you have a different story for how you came to be a part of the church, how you came to be a part of the faith. And so we'll have to honor that and recognize that how we invite others to be a part of exploring what Jesus is inviting them to and how Jesus is already present in their life, well, that will require us having a sense of having more than just a sense of, but a real relationship with folks. And in a world that has become so disconnected, yet is more connected by social media and by technology, we will have to break through some of the barriers that our connection actually builds. To do that, that's hard work. It takes time. It means that I'm not only going to see Facebook as a tool that's there before me, but I'm going to recognize I have to go beyond what the Facebook wall tells me I should be reading to really build a relationship with that person. I have to find out what is it that they're really saying or the questions that they have. Ulus, who was here with us a few weeks ago, his sermon still resonates over and over with me. He preached out of Acts, the story of Philip and the eunuch, and how the eunuch was going along and reading aloud in his chariot. And he didn't make sense of it, but Philip was running alongside the chariot. I don't know if you remember this. He says, I don't know how long he ran. I probably would have given up, but Philip kept running alongside. And when he finished reading, Philip asked the question. He was there to be listening in close enough, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? To which the Ethiopian eunuch said, no, I don't. And so Philip was at that place where he was able to meet them, meet that eunuch where he was and begin to have conversation and open up to him what that was meaning about this Jesus, the Christ, and who he was and what he meant. And through that, of course, the Ethiopian eunuch would ask to be baptized and his life would be changed. Something would begin to happen. Philip was there in that place. Now, Philip didn't get to see it through to the end, but the seeds were planted and they began to grow over time. Here's the challenge, church, that I think we need to hear. Jesus is calling us still into this mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That mission didn't end. If anything, the mission field is more ripe now than ever because people do want the world to be different. And what they're looking for is people who believe that and who are willing to work to see that through, who are praying and believing God is going to work through their hands and their feet to be a part of that transformation. And so we're going to spend a lot more time as a congregation looking in our community, having eyes to see and ears to hear. What is it that God's doing in our midst, and how can we be a part of that kind of change in our community that makes a difference, that brings life? That calls for something, right? I mean, we may have to give up some stuff, like our comfort, like doing the same thing over and over, even if it's not accomplishing the goal or the mission. We may have to give up some stuff to get there. And guess what? I'm with you. Sometimes I have to acknowledge I'm not willing to give up the stuff in my life until I come to realize that it's become more burdensome than life-giving. And so, in the coming weeks, we'll be praying through this together. We'll be looking at this together. Just like our kids are hearing that Jesus is calling them to this mission, we need to hear that too this morning, that Jesus calls us to that mission of making disciples for the transformation of the world. It's good work. It's hard work. We do it together by the work of the Spirit.